You're listening to the AHTB Cyrils and Orsies podcast. Highlights from your arable levy organisation.
Hello and welcome to the AHTB Cyrils and Oilseeds Harvest podcast mini-series. I'm Eleanor Holdsworth and today we'll be hearing from farmer Martin Williams and AHTB's Richard Meredith over in Herefordshire.
Hi, I'm Martin Williams. I'm from Herefordshire and I'm the monitor farmer for the AHTB. I live on a mixed farm historically. We grow quite a bit of wheat now and rape and barley. In particular, we rent land out for potatoes. We grow no spring corn this year, but we've let some ground out for maize. And we've got quite an amount of grassland acreage, which we make hay and fodder for. And we let land for sheep and cattle in the winter. Now then, Richard's come to me today to do a podcast for you to be bored in your cab listening to. Hopefully you'll be doing it while you spray your rape. You might be doing it while you're cutting your barley. But let's see what time it gets put on air, and let's see if anybody actually listens to the damn thing when it gets put there. Richard.
Can you talk me through a normal day combining here, please, Martin?
A normal day combining starts with probably a dewy morning, so we don't really know what we're doing until we get to about 11, 12 o'clock. We'll try, once we get into the middle of the season, it's not quite so bad because you get into sort of a full flow. We're thinking of cutting barley now this next week, first week of July, which is very early for us really. It's almost Royal Show week historically, and normally it's Royal Welsh Show if you go by the diary. So this week we're looking at a snatch of some barley possibly, then I think there'd be a gap into rape and wheat. So until we get into the thick of it, it's odds and sods really. We'll be waiting for something to come ripe, probably trying something a day too soon. But when we get in the middle of it, we're looking for little blocks of ground where we can go to, a little bit of a plan. So I try and make a plan in the morning of where we're going to go that day and arrange tractors and trailers accordingly, whether it be at home or away.
What's your top crop to harvest?
Oh, my favourite by far is wheat. It's all very well going into a field of rape because it's early. If you haven't got any barley, barley is the thing that shines the combine up. But when you get into some rape, you think, oh, now I'm combining. And you finish the filthy stuff and you get into some wheat and it's a dream. It's absolutely lovely. The tank's filling up nicely. It's just a lovely thing to cut. It just feels like proper harvest.
What are you doing on the farm that you're really proud of, Martin?
I found this question very difficult when I looked at the list. I didn't feel I was doing anything much to feel really proud of. And then having thought about it, the only thing I can think I'm doing to be proud of is trying my best. I'm trying my best to make the best crops. I'm trying my best to market it. I'm trying my best to be as good as I can be with the tools that I've got. And that's all I can do.
Tell me a bit about the machinery you use here.
We use far too much machinery here. Because we do a bit of contract work off-site, we've got more machinery than we should have at home. We've recently changed our combine. We had an unreliable one last year, and so the dealership have been very good to us and treated us to another one. We'll see how that goes in about a week's time, hopefully. Cultivation-wise, I was talking to someone today who was trying to convince me I should be direct drilling. I know, calm down, don't get all excited. Listen to him and he's quite a convert, as most people are that have done it. I haven't yet done it. I'm more of a traditionalist. But whether it's something we should look at in the future, I don't know. Probably Rob Fox in Squab Hall. Perhaps we should be asking him because I think he's looking into it as well, along with everybody else.
How do you work to stay safe on farm, Martin?
On the farm, up until recently, we were a bit lazy on that front. We have two-way radio system that we can use handhelds and stuff in the tractors, which I think is quite a handy thing because you can always have a chat to someone and see if they're still awake. We also use an external company now, subsequent to a neighbouring farmer having a misfortune. We've invested in an external company come in to do health and safety assessments for us and planning, and I think that's absolutely vital. It's all stuff that's common sense, and I think we should have been doing it before, and it just means that we're a bit more on the ball than we were.
Have you made any changes to your harvest strategy recently?
The simple answer to that is no. Harvest to me is, it comes around every year. It's going to come. It's going to happen. it very often seems a bit manic, depending on the weather. If the weather stays like we've got at the moment for haymaking, which has been absolutely fantastic, it'll be a breeze. If it doesn't, it always turns into, should we go here? Should we go there? Should we have a go at that? Should we start at 3 o'clock? Should we start at 5 o'clock? As a strategy, apart from block cropping, which we've been doing for a while, there's not much we can do to change, I don't think.
Will you be chopping or baling your straw this year?
As we live very close to Wales, we'll be baling all of our straw this year, as I think most people will be. It seems to be a valuable commodity as of winter of last year. And I think it's the first straw sale in Herefordshire tonight, on Monday, the 2nd of July. And I think it'll be a brave man who puts his hand up there first. So we'll be baling everything.
When do you start working out your cost of production?
That's an interesting question. I do that in April and May, really, and based on yield potential. So my cost of production up until April, I'll have a look at and see what we've spent, and then we'll see what we're going to spend on it based on how it's performed up to there. After harvest, I generally have a bit of a manic August, September, and so a real good look at it, I suppose, is October time, end of September, beginning of October.
What's your approach to grain storage here, Martin?
Grain storage, we look after most of the corn at home as much as we can. We use a neighbour up the road who's got a nice big grain store if we need to dry something of volume. We sell a little bit off the field at harvest, mainly oddments. We're growing up some barley and that'll probably disappear off the field just to make room for the wheat when we come to it.
What are your desert island discs for when you're in the combine, Martin?
I like this question. This is more my alley. Well, this is going to be three off my playlist. One is David Guetta with Kelly Rowland singing Love Takes Over. And if you can think of her in that video, that's what keeps you going through the day. My next one is Boys of Summer from Don Henley. Always a favourite. Makes me feel like it's a proper driving tune. And the third one is a bit of an off-the-wall one, and my wife hates me for it, is Tell Me on a Sunday by Marty Webb. And if you want to Google it, because you'll probably never have heard of it, I just think it's brilliant. Very sad, but brilliant.
Thanks, Martin. What's the most useful thing that HDB does for you?
HDB does lots of things for me, and it's been a fantastic asset for me as a person. I didn't realise quite the knowledge base that's there, and that's the main thing I get from there. And I also get a support network. It's great to be able to ring someone up and just have that contact, because it's fantastic what's there. And I know I sound like some evangelist, I'm not. It is amazing the knowledge base that you can use.
Looking back into years gone by, what was your first harvest here like?
It was fantastic. As a kid, every day's sunny, isn't it? And you come home from school, you leave school with your satchel, you can't wait to get the thing off your shoulder. Once you've got your shorts on for the summer, it never rains. It just seems fantastic. And I remember the summer seemed to go on forever. Maybe this one will as well.
What's the best harvest you've ever had?
I think the best harvest I've ever had, probably 2014-15 as a grown-up. It just seemed to be okay. We seem to have better harvest than we thought in a drought season, and so I'm hoping this year might be more productive than I'm thinking it's going to be at the moment.
And what's the worst harvest you've had, Martin?
Along with everybody else, I would say the answer to this question is 2012. Prior to that was probably 2008. 2012 was a bit special because it just went on and on, and I think the repercussions of that harvest have lasted even to today, definitely to 2016, with ground damage and damage to cash flow, really.
What piece of new technology has made the biggest difference to your harvesting?
Well, when I started combining as a kid, we had no cab. Then we had a cab with no aircon, and I think it was probably worse. And we used to have, we had a Massey combine, and we used to carry a big stick lying across the bonnet of the combine. It was red hot, as was everything else. And when you bulldozed across the field, you had the stick to poke the stuff off the knife, which was 10 feet wide. So for me, aircon and auto-level headers, two fantastic things that have come in my lifetime.
And what do you wish someone had told you when you first started farming?
Well, listen harder at school, probably. When I first started harvesting, you start out with the romantic notion that everything's fantastic. And I think over the past 20 years, and I'm not trying to be too down on it, I think the fun has gone out of harvest. When I was a kid and we were harvesting corn and we got to harvest festival, I don't mind admitting I shed a tear. But nowadays, I'm more likely to be more chirpy.
So looking forward, what do you think harvest will be like in 100 years' time?
Well, bearing in mind, we discussed this just before we started this podcast, and we felt that 100 years ago, it was probably with a scythe. I would imagine it's probably going to be robotic of some description, or in 100 years' time, we might be eating pellets like something out of Space 1999, for those that can remember it. It's such a difficult question, because it's something we think we're very modern now, but so did they with a binder in 1940.
What would you like to be able to do differently in your farming?
In my farming, I'd like to be more organised, be able to plan my work-life balance a little bit better. We seem to lurch from one thing to another, which I know is a farming thing, and they say it's a lifestyle choice and all those sorts of things. But when I was a kid and I used to run silage trailers and I could drive by a pub at 10 o'clock at night, I was so chuffed to be driving past the pub on a tractor with all the lights flashing. Well, now I've got to the grand old age of 53. I'm more happy to sit in the pub and curse the tractor driving by while I drink a glass of cider. So that's where I'd like to be, a little bit more organised and have a bit better work-life balance.
What piece of technology do you wish existed but doesn't?
Well, this I don't know. I can't think of something that I would want. When Dixon's were opening their shops and I went in there as an older person and I had to ask the assistant what the things did, I felt it was time to me to stop shopping at Dixon's because I was obviously too old. And maybe I'm settled and quite happy with my smartphone. And if anybody can come up with something better, I'll willingly look at it. But at the moment, I can't think of anything better.
And finally, how will you celebrate cutting the last of your crops this year?
As I said earlier, when I was a youngster, when I went to Harvest Festival, I shed a tear. It was the end of the harvest. I had to go back to school. It felt like life had ended. There was no more tractors, there was no more corn, there was no more straw, no more bales. Now, however, I greet it with sadness and relief. It's always such a rush when you're harvesting, always seems sort of under pressure. It's nice to see it finished, but there is a pang of sadness when you put that combine away. Well, apparently I'm having a takeaway tonight, so before I eat some foreign food, and before we start on the sandwiches for harvest, I think perhaps it's time to say goodnight. I'd like to wish everybody a good harvest, a prosperous harvest, and a barn-filling harvest. Whether we get it or not is another thing, and I look forward to seeing you over time, and hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast.
That's all for now. For all our listeners out there, if you'd like to get hold of AHDB's harvest resources, go to cereals.ahdb.org.uk/harvest or read down in the podcast episode notes.